Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach Joel Elston here. Today is Thursday, December the 20th, 2018. It's 8 a.m. New York time, 5 a.m. in Los Angeles, 1 p.m. in London, and in Sydney, Australia, it's 12 midnight. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are in the world. We love having you here. We love all of our listeners, especially when they tune in for one of the episodes of LOA Today. And Joel's back again. I hope you've been doing well. It sounded like in the pre-show you were doing well. Are you doing well, Joel?
Yes, things are really good. We're sort of wrapping up this year. Got Christmas next week, so we're ready for that. And things could not be any better in my life.
Oh well, hey, that's an endorsement right there. That's cool. So good. Glad to hear that. And this is another Q&A here on the Facebook Law of Attraction group. So if you have questions for Joel to answer or Joel and I, we'll be happy to address them. Questions, comments, anything you want to share. Anything you want to talk about? You know, we love doing this kind of thing, and that's what we're here for, is to talk with you guys. And Joel, I thought I would get this conversation started today with a thought that came to me as I was awaking this morning. When I woke up, one of the first thoughts that came to my mind is, I think there are so many people, and I'm one of these people, there are so many people who deep down don't entirely believe that they deserve to have all the abundance they want to have into their lives. And over time, it kind of turns into, you almost get lackadaisical about it, like, well, you know, because I don't really feel like I deserve it, it never really shows up the way I really want it to. I get bits and pieces of it. You know, I can see the law of attraction works, but no, I'm not getting all my big goals. So my enthusiasm starts to wane after a while, you know, that kind of a thing. And then we just kind of stay in that pattern. And it occurs to me, we really need to believe we deserve this. We need to believe that we deserve the abundance, that all the things that we want to have happen coming true in our lives. Otherwise, we're basically putting up a limiting belief just by saying, oh, you know, so-so. I mean, what do you think?
Well, and I see it a little differently, but we get to the same point. If you don't feel like you deserve it, you can't truly bring it to you, because again, the law of attraction doesn't respond to anything but how you're feeling.
Right.
And if it's a resistance feeling, it isn't sitting there going, huh, well, this guy doesn't deserve it. That's what he believes. What it does is, I don't deserve it translates to I won't get it. I work with a gentleman right now. He's a really good guy, but he's having a very, very difficult time in life. And he is anticipating the next bad thing every day. And shockingly, it is happening.
Yes.
Really shockingly, but he's having a really bad couple of months. And he says, well, what's the point of me trying? I'll get the job and then I'll fail at it. Well, he's right. He's had several jobs and he's failed at it because he keeps applying the same negative approach to it. So whether it's not deserving or not entitled or feeling any of these things that would be a limiting belief, the limiting belief can come in many, many forms or fashions. And often, like you're saying, I don't deserve this is a basis of development of that limiting belief. But the way we feel and the energy we're putting out, that's the vibration that we're putting out there, and the law of attraction always matches that.
Yes.
And it's such a, most people are looking for it to be more complicated than that. While it's hard to control how you're truly feeling, because a lot of the times you're saying, okay, I'm just going to, I'll work on this. And yet, I end up making that the fact that I have to work on it being my, you know, that somehow I'm flawed already.
Right.
So this flaw is keeping me from happening, or this stuff from happening. And again, that's another piece of the resistance. It versus some of the most flawed human beings on the planet are experts in the law of attraction. It's because they at the end of the day, they're able to implement, this is what I believe, this is how I feel, and that's what the law of attraction is going to give back to me. It's amazing to see it work, and it's frustrating for those that really struggle, because it's the struggle or the limiting belief system. There's a whole package of limiting beliefs, and they are the concept. At the end of the day, there's only one thing that stops it from working, and that is a form of resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And in fact, we have a first question, which is a good. We usually don't get a question this early, but Nasha, one of our regulars, has chimed in. She says, how do I manifest money easily and fastest? I know desperation doesn't work, so how do I actually get it? Well, I know I do deserve it on every level. Interesting question. What do you think?
A great question, but within the question, usually is the answer. You hear the, you know, how do I do it? I feel like I deserve it on every level, but there's almost and I'm so grateful for our Facebook followers and those who listen. So this by no means being derogatory or trying to criticize, but
right.
it's the answer. The answer is in the question. I really believe it, but yet how do I get it? And it's almost letting go of that. How do I get it? Other than let me tune into it. Let me feel it. Let me live within it. The concept of living as if you already have what you're seeking. The reason you don't have, here's an experiment that I've done. And recently I always do this with clients. I do this in private coaching sessions and I'm always shocked to hear the responses. And most of our listeners in the United States, if it doesn't apply to you, then whatever currency would match. But I always challenge people to see sometime today, you will find a penny on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're looking for that penny on the ground, when you see it, you'll understand that's the law of attraction at work. Now, nobody believes that finding a penny is a major event. You expect to see a penny on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So because that's there, yes, there you're bringing about that penny. Now, $1 million in the penny are no different to the law of attraction. It's just what, as we said earlier, what do you really believe? Since you don't doubt the penny's an issue, you'll see multiple pennies. I have a young man that was in a deep, deep depression and he wanted to apply the law of attraction. Medications hasn't worked, and he thought about applying law of attraction in life, but he liked the concept. And he said one of the things that launched him the most, I said, when you go sometime today, when you'll see a penny. And I used that, and he just sort of rolled his eyes, you know, internally, he told me, and smiled and left. Well, I get a text waiting for my next client. He was in the parking lot. And he says, "Did you put the pennies there?" He said, "There's three pennies by my car." Later in the day, I get a text at the grocery store. There's a penny on the ground. I've seen by the end of the day, I've seen about 20 pennies. And I said, "Well, yeah." I said that. He said, "So, but I think they would have been there already." And I go, "They were, just like everything else is. You just have to tune into it."
Mm.
And it's that same concept here, the ability to tune into it. And it's our resistance that pushes it away. I use this analogy one time when I bought my Porsche and I wanted it to, I thought, well, this will be unique. You know, I'm driving a Porsche. Well, that day I saw 25 Porsches identical to mine. But where did they come from?
Right.
Well, they were always there. I just wasn't tuned into them. And the law of attraction is more about tuning in with your emotions and what you're feeling. So I want to answer the question as easily as possible, but it is the number one question of the law of attraction of how do I quickly attract money into my life? The quickest way is to really believe and feel like you have the money already. And that's how you attract it. When you live in an abundance, you have more of an abundance. When you live in a lack, you will always have more of a lack. And in this case, I really do believe that this young lady deserves it. She feels she deserves it, and she does. But when she can really tune into it, because it's almost always the thing that we're most desperate for that is the hardest to obtain.
Mm.
The people that have ongoing financial problems tend to follow them their entire life because it's often inherited in a lot of cases. But also they have – the ones that have relationship problems. I know some exceptionally wealthy people that money is not even a thing for them. It doesn't even exist as a problem, but yet they cannot find a relationship. They're always upside down in relationships or they're depressed because of relationships or, you know, that, so you see that or whatever your thing is, is where the resistance lies. So being able to tune in, and I know that I wish there were a simple step-by-step method that I could simply say, by tomorrow at this time, you'll have $100,000 in your bank account. It doesn't work that way. It's you tuning into the abundance and letting go of how we get there and almost not putting it as a priority. But I deserve it is great. Feeling it is great. But sitting there and thinking about it and talking about it and bringing it to the table is actually creating the feeling of it's not there already. How do I get it? Suggest I don't have it. Does that make sense, Walt?
Absolutely, it makes sense. And by the way, Nash is already in agreement with you because, well, especially when you were talking about getting frustrated, she was typing another message about, well, she says, now this shows we could know everything, but at times we get carried away with the lack, so we get frustrated rather than feeling it real, which was exactly what you were talking about. So she's getting it for sure.
Right. And that's exciting because in my personal experience, you know, money was a massive, someone who developed a severe gambling problem. My mom always struggled with money. She married a compulsive gambler who left her with nothing. She struggled with finances for years, even until she passed away. Money was a thing for her, and it just was, she just struggled with it.
Right.
And I saw that go on, and I was determined not to do that, but yet I developed a gambling problem, which made that even compounded. You know, it's hard to have any money and have a gambling problem at the same time.
That's true.
They don't work well together.
No.
But as I got in recovery and I realized, once I realized I had enough, then I continually had enough. Then when I realized I had an abundance, I continually had an abundance. And then I'm to the point now that it's not even, you know, I'm not claiming to be super wealthy or whatever. I don't mean that, but I don't live in a world where I'm concerned for the next couple of years of how I'm going to pay bills. That's not a thing. So
right.
That just attracts more money and it just, you feel really good. You know, you feel really good about that kind of thing. So like my several of my friends are in financial planning and they're always on. You need to prepare and look for retirement and all this. And I'm like, no. I said that. No, I'm glad you do that for a living, but there is not a scenario where I need to worry about that. I will not retire. I don't want to retire. Why do you quit doing what you love? So I'm living in a world where I'm making money doing what I love doing. And I don't want it to stop. I don't want to retire. Retiring to me sounds scary. That would be fearful.
I love that.
What am I going to do? You know? Yeah.
That's funny, but it's true. I mean, once you find something that you really love doing, why would you want to stop? There's no point to it. You want to keep going because you're having so much fun. Yeah. Deidre also shared a couple of thoughts. She said, LOA is non-judgmental, too. She says, it is God who always says yes. He doesn't judge what we want, is how I understand it from Neville, anyway. While my former religion, or any religion for that matter, will make us think we are undeserving, we have to remember grace from God. And then she goes on to say, how do we get money? I think once we align with the energy of money, it comes, I think. We shouldn't think it is not on its way. And I'm in the same boat as Nash, but I know I must be in alignment. So while I wait the interval of time it may take, I work happily on other aspects of myself. What do you think?
I love that. I'm in the process of what the book I'm listening to right now is called The Miracle Morning. And it's talking about, it's a great book, but the part this morning that matches exactly what she's saying is we have this energy that is within us. And we are created a baseline of where we're at by self-improvement, working on other areas. It's almost like getting in the back door, to what you want. If you go directly at money, you create the resistance. But if you look at making your whole life, I keep this one gentleman's famous email, and I keep forgetting his name, but we should have him on the show, that wrote about how the law of attraction is working in every area of the life, but the area he wanted it to work in the most. that's exactly what you talk. Work on ourselves as a whole. Get up every morning Intend your day and look at the abundance overall. Not only do I have, because money is what we all always tend to focus on. I have 50 in 2 months. I'll be 57 years old. I'm incredible health. I feel wonderful. I'm on no medications. I'm in the gym every day of my life. I've recently adopted my son who is, you know, recently turned 13. I have a thriving practice. I'm working on a couple of books, and I'm not saying this from a bragging standpoint, but I'm letting you know I have this life that is not limited any longer. And the law of attraction brought all that. If I were just to focus on one area of lack, then it would be it's not me seeing the whole picture. When we see the whole picture of what it's doing, apply the same energy to what you're thinking. You're, you know, almost not being distracted by that. Health, good health is something we take totally for granted every day. Mm. You wake up, you feel good. I acknowledge that every day. I wake up every day acknowledging the fact that I can feel like I feel. I feel better today at 57 than I did at 30. That's a fact. And I acknowledge that daily. And so that just within this process of the whole work, this miracle morning talks about waking up. This gentleman was lost, very, very short synopsis. He was a successful person, lost everything in the financial crisis, had a morning where his friend talked him into getting up and going and exercising. He does. He has an epiphany. He sees it different. He started getting up every morning, started changing his narrative of how he's doing today. You talk about doing your mirror work, doing these things that are sort of out of the comfort zone, but sitting in silence, meditating or praying, whatever your version of that is, but work on yourself, improve yourself, and you'll be shocked at those. But if you sit there waiting without doing the work around yourself, you'll find yourself being stressed and overwhelmed and unintentionally pushing away. So exactly what you're saying, by aligning with the money, you do that by doing the work on yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, I've been noticing a lot in the work that I've been doing, because I've been doing more than the mirror exercises. I have two or three things that I do every single morning. And as I've been doing them, one of the ones I've been doing is using videos for visualizing, because you and I have talked in the past. I have this aphantasia that makes it really difficult for me to put images into my mind, to create them in my mind. So I use a tool, you know, to help have the images, so I can have the images to enjoy and to look at and to think about. And as I've been doing that, I've realized that it's very easy. This is kind of where the original topic for today came to my mind. It's very easy for me to just enjoy looking at the video, but I also recognize I have to put myself into it. And I don't mean just imagine myself being in the space. I mean, I have to throw myself into it. I have to get into the excitement mode looking at that video and make it feel like I'm really living it, or else I'm not going to actually build it the way I want to build it. I'm not going to attract it the way I want to attract it. I got to be a part of it. And that's huge, I think.
Yes.
That's why we do all these things.
Well, and that's the point, and that's why this question is so on topic and, again, so appreciative for our listeners, because it's literally tuned in to what I was feeling today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have this morning that I have created, you know, and long before I've been listening to The Miracle Morning is my book, but every morning I get up at 5:30. I'm often up a little before that. Very seldom does the alarm awaken me. I'm usually between 5 and 5:15. I wake. I get up. I make me some coffee. I have a very healthy, low carb start to my day with some protein. And what I'm listening to, like I am The Miracle Morning on Audible. I listen to that every day. I have a 20 minute meditation where I sit in silence, sit in darkness. I sometimes do a guided meditation. Sometimes I do some transcendental meditation. Sometimes I just do a mindfulness breathing exercise. But I try to sit in silence and really work on improving my brain, how I'm able to manifest things. And I do that by me slowing it all down. And I really appreciate that time.
Mm.
Now, the day's going to happen. I'm going to have a lot of chaos during the day, and I'm able to deal with it because of the lot of work that I'm in. But I prepare myself every day. I view every day as I'm excited to get up. I'm that guy that loves Mondays. I'm that guy that looks forward to what's going on. I one of my favorite sayings, and I posted today on Facebook, was you've been assigned this mountain to prove to others it can be moved.
Oh, I saw that. And, that was great. I
have that ordered, and I have a massive thing I'm putting on my – that is the thing that's going on my wall. I wake up every day, and I'm looking for the mountain. I view now the mountains are running for me. Like, we don't want none of that. Let's go. I've totally turned it around on the mountain. They're like, oh, no, here he comes. So I've been assigned to move this mountain, so it can be moved. And I don't doubt they can be moved anymore.
Mm.
And so with that attitude, that's how you love life. And so, you know, that idea of learning this piece of it, you know, you see a law of attraction working on so many. It works, but you don't realize, just like that, I love that there is no judgment from this. You're not flawed. We're as a society, we're looking for our flaws. One of the things that I reassign every day with people I work with is the concept that they are somehow flawed because they aren't matching the norms assigned to them.
Mm.
A lot of the kids I work with are ADHD children, and they view their condition, or they view their brain as a flawed brain because they're told it's a disability. I reframe that for them and say, no, it is a disability when you're viewing it that way, but you've been given a superhuman brain and nobody's taught you how to use it. So
mm-hmm.
Yes, it seems like it's a disability at this point, but why don't we turn it into a gift? Why don't we do that? And once they do that process, so it's reframing what we perceive as the flaws and not looking at all, whatever, you know, when I'm judging my life by everybody else's standards, I'm never going to rise to that, because there's always going to be somebody in certain areas that are what it would appear to be in a better place. That's not the case, Walt. It's a very big journey out there, and there is no judgment, and there's self-responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And what religion often does, and again, not be critical of anyone's religion, but what it often does, it gives you a sort of a platform to blame other entities, or God, or the devil, versus the self-responsibility. You've been given this life. Figure it out. Use it. We all have been to different places. We can blame, or we can look to blame how we got here, or we can just accept where we're at, put a period behind what's happened, and move forward. That's aligning with today. That's aligning with the power of now. That's where all of this stuff sort of converges, and that's the beauty of it.
I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, just as you were starting to talk about what your daily process is, Nasha was asking me what my daily process is. So thank you. You actually helped answer the question that she brought up. And Nasha, I'll tell you, mine is, like Joel says, I start off with mirror exercises, basically, you know, feeding my own ego, essentially, and the interesting phrase to say that, too, feeding my own ego, because in so doing, my ego goes away, which is kind of interesting. I'll say to myself, I love you. I think you're fantastic. You're doing well. You're doing great stuff. Here are some of the things you did yesterday. I go through the list. Here are the things you're planning to do today. I go through the list. And in the process of doing that, just keep patting myself on the back for all the good things I'm doing. And as I do that, my ego just subsides and goes away. Just like it's gotten what it needed. It's done. It moves on to other things. Whereas if I didn't do this, my ego is always looking to get stroked, right? So I get the strokes out of the way, and now I'm feeling better to do the day. And then after I do the mirror exercises, like I was saying, I'm doing videos now. I have videos that I found on YouTube that I play, and I just play one after another, and each one is about something I'm wanting to attract into my life, and I focus on it, and I put myself into it, and I'm trying to build up my experience of it, kind of like the Neville thing, the Neville Goddard idea of assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. So I feel like I'm actually in that scene. So that's another big activity I do each morning. And occasionally I'll do some kind of meditative activity. That's why I said it was 2 to 3 things that I do every day. But usually those are the two things that I do. So compare and contrast with what Joel gave you.
Well, and Walt, and I love that. And part of the only thing that I want to sort of put into its perspective for you is, again, you use the word ego like it's like that's a bad thing. Like you we're again conditioned to hear that.
I don't think of it as bad.
Truly love yourself.
I don't really think of it as bad.
Right.
What I think of it is, it's getting in the way of where I want to get to. I think of it as like, yeah. you know, I'm so focused on this ego thing that I forget to focus on what it is I want to focus on. And so right, I need to push that out of the way in a sense.
Well, because we are conditioned to again, look at things like you know, the idea, it's very healthy what you're doing. And when we view things from a perspective like, well, I'm not this or I shouldn't be doing that. Why? I don't know where that came from. One of the concepts that, and I always get confused with all the gurus, so I don't know exactly which one.
There's so many of them.
One of the gurus, you know, I've heard him say in a talk he was giving, he said, you know, look in the mirror and say, you're perfect. And I'm like, wow, that's a hard thing to really say and believe because I view myself as so flawed in so many areas. And his point as he went on, you're perfectly you.
Yeah.
You're in a different starting place than everyone else. Once you get to that understanding, you are perfectly you and accepting you and not using other people's rulers to measure you, then you start your journey in a perfect way. My journey unfolded for me from anybody's descriptive. It was a crazy bumpy ride. It wasn't what straight up, but the fact when I frame my journey, like I said before, now I now view it as like now the mountains are running from me. And I've lived that.
I love that. What a phrase.
And that's how I truly get up every day and do that. Stuff's going to happen. I know that. I can't stop the stuff from happening, but I am so confident and I feel so great in my ability to handle whatever life throws at me. And it has thrown a lot at me. I thrive in scenarios. I'm not looking for conflict or issues to deal with, but if they do arise, I'm not worried about them anymore.
I'm also realizing that one of the best things I can do is to pay attention to those parts of the day that I do have control over the schedule, where I spend time focusing on stuff that I don't really want to focus on, just because I do it habitually.
Right.
And in the process of recognizing those things, realize that, well, okay, this is a part of the schedule today that I can control. It's not like I have to be at job X or, you know, helping this person over here or whatever it is. I can actually, this is me time. This is part of my day that I get to decide what I'm going to do. For that moment in time, instead of focusing on what I don't want, I am going to find something else that I've been wanting to insert there. And I got to do it. I got to do the work. Yes. I mean, there's a certain degree of work involved in the sense of, you know, committing to sitting down or standing up or, you know, taking whatever action I have to take in order to get to focusing on the thing that I need to focus on. So it takes, in that sense, it takes work. It's not really work. It's not like, well, I'm going to work today. It's more like the work of redirecting my attention. And I say it's work because if it's habitual, it can take a little doing to do that. It can take a little doing to kind of, you know, shift the attention over. But it's worth doing.
Yes. Yes. And that's the growth, you know, that you've demonstrated in a great way, how you've learned to adjust your attention, what you've, you know, the stuff that was the most difficult for you in the beginning, and since I've been with you on your journey for the last few years, has where you have realized and said, you know, the stuff that made you the most uncomfortable is what you have really sort of thrived at. A big turning point for you is sort of in a generic descriptive is, you know, you to say that you plan things out is sort of an understatement. You're a little, you've always made sure I was dotted every T's crossed. Well, we were talking one day and randomly you were like, I'm thinking about expanding the show and getting more hosts and doing this. And I said, that's a great idea, Walt. And I was expecting it to be the sort of the Walt 4-year plan. And, where you looked at the metrics and you did this and well, the next time we talked, you had it set up. It was so far out of your comfort zone.
It was.
But it worked so, it was so amazing. And I just was shocked to see, cause you did the most uncomfortable thing you could do. You just jumped in where Joel's always jumping in and, you know, it's pretty comfortable for me for that. I'm uncomfortable planning. So you're, you know, I got asked a question, what are you guys doing for Christmas? And I said, I don't know yet. And this was yesterday. And don't you think you need to find out? Yeah, it'll work out. I mean, we'll do something. But that's the exciting piece that you're able to do this. And I'm so happy that you're there. And,
well, thank
and
you.
I've just watched you change, because that was when you write the Walt book one day, when it's all going to be laid out, from Joel's perspective, that was the biggest turning point for you. Mm,
yeah, I think you're right. That is a big turning point. And what you were talking about there about the not planning ahead part, it reminds me of something you posted one time about you sometimes post these dialogues between you and your son, you and Justin. And
yeah.
One of them was about, I think it was when there was a hurricane bearing down on Virginia. And I guess he asked you if you had an escape plan or an evacuation plan. And I don't remember exactly how the gist of it, I don't remember how the conversation went, but the gist of it was, yeah, we have a plan. And Justin basically asked, well, what is it? And he says, well, look, you said we're going to do something. And he says, yeah, that's just what I thought. You don't have a plan.
Well, yeah, it's funny because you're always getting things, you know, have your emergency plan. There was a hurricane. First of all, we're in the middle of Virginia. So I grew up in Florida, so I don't get too worried about hurricanes.
Yeah,
in the middle of Virginia.
Different thing entirely.
But so,
yeah.
So I'll start with that process. And so just, you know, one of Justin's, at one of his classes, there's an emergency preparedness guy there. So your family needs to have a plan. You need to, you know, do these things. And so he came home and he said, Dad, do we have a plan? I said, yes, we have a comprehensive emergency plan. And he said, well, what is it? I said, we'll just leave.
Yes, we'll leave.
He said, well, yeah. He said, well, that's not really what they're saying we need to do. And I go, well, son, if a hurricane, we'll just go, and when it's gone, we'll come back. If the house gets destroyed, we'll buy another one. And we already have another house in Florida. We're good. You know, Dad, we're supposed to. He was worried that I wasn't worried about it. And the way it was presented to him at school was you needed this multi-point checklist. And I said, so we'll leave. I said, I got some cash out of the ATM. We have a full tank of gas. I have a four-wheel drive vehicle. I can figure out how to get to some place that the hurricane hadn't fit. That's all we got to do, buddy. That's all we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also a lesson to him of, you know, because again, I adopted Justin from foster care. So there's a concern, you know, that also tends to be worrying about what, you know,
right.
We're fine. We're going to be fine no matter what happens. We can handle whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of my message to that. And I'm not critical of, you know, obviously you need to plan ahead, but I truly view that way. You know, I'll leave and call the neighbors, say the electricity, or first of all, the house there. Okay, then that would lead, if they say no, say, okay, it was nice living by you, and
I'll
get another house. Or it is there, is electricity back on, say, call me when it's on. It's really that simple. And so I'm fortunate that that's how I am. I don't worry about those things anymore. But it is a great way to live, and that's in my mind.
It's a great way to live. It's, well, actually, I'm not sure the other way really is living, personally. Now that, you know, it's all based on what your perspective and what your preferences are in life. But for me, having lived so long as I have in the realm of worry and concern and, oh, I got to figure this out and all that kind of thing. And now finally having, you know, at least partway, I think mostly crawled out of that, I can tell you the second road is better than the first road by tons, by huge amounts.
Yeah.
Living in that worry space, just miserable, climbing out of the worry space and saying, you know what, I'm not going to worry about this anymore, is a much, much more pleasant place to live in. My take only, I guess.
And again, everybody's individual. When people come to me, they're asking me how I see things. When I tell them this stuff, they don't have to do it. We're offering our opinion, and some people may find this beneficial. Some people may want to argue with us. You can't argue with me because I'm going to say you do what you need to do. I'll tell you what works for me.
Right.
One of my favorite segments on local TV was, and I've shared this on the show several times, but it's been probably 3 or 4 years, maybe even longer. But I very seldom seldom have the TV on anyway, and I've never.
Yeah, that alone is shocking. I mean, that you even knew what was on TV. I'm surprised at that.
yeah, and it was the only reason I knew it. I was watching a football game, and you leave the TV on, and you can do something.
Okay.
So the news had popped up. So this lady has started the newscast started at the top of the hour, and they're interviewing a lady whose home had burned down, and it had burned down to the ground, and the reporter was there, and she was asking her the questions, and they said, well, you know, how are you doing? How does it feel to have your home and lose everything? And the lady was like, well, fortunately, my kids weren't here. We were able to get the pets out, and she basically was like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not, it, you know, we have a safe place. We're staying with friends now. The house is insured. So the lady was basically just grateful that no one was harmed and it was only a house. Well, the reporter kept trying to say, but how does it feel to lose like all your pictures and all your memories?
Mm-hmm.
And the lady was like, well, my pictures are backed up online. The beautiful thing about where we live, I have all those things. I recently converted them over, so I'm grateful for that. They said, but you've lost everything. And then the lady once again said, well, we're completely insured. We'll be reimbursed. My insurance agent has already called me, just texted me a second ago, that they'll have me a temporary check and we'll have it settled within 2 weeks. So it really will not be a big deal. The kids won't miss school. It worked out well. They have clothes at friend's house. We'll go buy some more now. It's not that, you know, we're really blessed. And so the lady asked one more provocative question, almost trying to elicit. And the lady said, are you trying to get me to be upset? And the lady was like, no, I just don't know. You know, our audience would like to know what it feels like. She goes, no, I think that you would like to start the broadcast with me crying on live TV on how I lost everything, because that would help the ratings. My answer is, we are grateful and blessed for all our support. We're grateful for the fire department. None of my family has lost their lives. We are not out financially. Other than a couple of weeks of unconventional living for us, we're absolutely fine. And the lady said, okay, thank you. And so it didn't give the reporter what she was anticipating.
No, not at all.
That doesn't sell on the news. The news doesn't want to hear, yep, things are great. Things are really good. But, oh, well, that's not news. It needs to be bad.
Yeah, right.
And that's sort of the – so when we're looking at it, when we live life and we look at it, I wake up every day. And here's the thing that I want to really enter as part of my thing. I consciously remind myself, I am grateful for the opportunity for today. It sounds ridiculous, but I really say that every morning, because with the opportunity of today, no matter how bad things are, you're in the game. You have a shot. You have a chance at life by just that one act of being today, the power of now, the power of right now, is the most powerful force that we have at our disposal. The law of attraction is what we do. But when we live in now, that's when we're the most able to benefit or manifest with the law of attraction, because we're not putting preconditions on things. The power of now is living right now. And I love how they work together. They're really the same thing, but it's described in a different way.
Another listener, Bronwyn, added a comment based on what you were talking about. She said, I think people like to get scared to get motivated. I think there's some truth to that, don't you?
There is. That's a great point. There's I'm pretty sure, maybe it's Tony Robbins, desperation or motivation is what we need. You need to be super desperate or super motivated to get something going. So sometimes people, being scared can be a motivating factor. Unfortunately, for a lot of people too, being scared is debilitating, and this is something that this is where we really got to focus and understand that how we live our lives, how we daily view things, our perspective is where we're in charge of things. And the law of attraction, again, the idea that we can easily get totally out in left field and forgetting about right now here's where I'm at. And that's where we apply this. And I love when our listeners point in, you know, from her perspective, she sees it the way she sees it. And being scared can be a good thing, but it's generally, it often has the reverse of results because you act from a base of fear, and a law of attraction is picking up on the fear. That's a long way to get there, but that's what we're saying.
And then Nasha chimed in saying that people are often afraid of change too. So that's another way it can work out, that, you know, how it plays out when you're in that stressed situation.
Right. We talked about the concept of homeostasis before. The body and the mind and life is conditioned to avoid change. Mm-hmm. Change is often again painted as a fear-based thing. I am not aware of anyone that's ever created great things without having to go through massive change. Change, we fear it but need it. Change is growth. If we stay the same forever, it may be comfortable, but there's no progress and no change. But people are fearful of it because it requires different behaviors. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel right because it's not a comfortable, normal way of behaving. But change, I love change. I embrace change. There was a time I just was scared to death of change. Mm. Now I'm all in favor. It's great. It's a growth mindset. It's a different way. But as our listeners are so astute, they realize, hey, this is something that a lot of people are fearful of change, and that does send them back to their comfort zone. They keep bringing back the same. Their behavior remains the same. Their actions remain the same, and they keep getting the same thing over and over.
And Nasha is heaping praises on top of our heads here, and I want to thank her for that. She also told a story how, first of all, her mother says hello. So hi, hello, Nasha's mom. And she said, I didn't have the money to pay my internet bill. My mom was like, didn't you listen to Walt? I said, well, the internet got disconnected last night. And so she made sure the bill got paid then and there, and all the positive changes, the credit goes to me, Walt. Well, no, actually, it goes also to you, Nasha, because you're the one who got into the right mindset to attract that. So pat yourself on the back, because you did that one. You know, I'm glad that we're here to help out. That's why we do the show. We love doing the show, because it helps us and it helps listeners. I mean, it helps everybody to get into that happy place. That's why we call it the Daily Dose of Happy. So we're glad that we were able to support you. But give yourself the credit. You're the one who did that one. You attracted that one. Congratulations for doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we, it, you know, and again, that there's more of that mindset as well, where we tend to, we want to take responsibility or in this case, take blame for all the bad things and then accept none of the congratulations or that none of the positive thoughts of actually doing it yourself. You are responsible for your situation. You got yourself into this and you're responsible to get yourself. You thought your way into where you're at and you will think your way out or feel your way out of this.
Absolutely.
When you accept that fact of responsibility, you quit it. Life becomes so much easier. If you're blaming, you know, the idea that, okay, well, these set of events have happened, so clearly none of this is my fault. That's absolutely a very destructive, limiting mindset. There's two mindsets that I operate for or try to get people to see. There's a growth mindset, which is obvious, and there's a limiting mindset.
Right.
A limiting mindset is you are not responsible for all this. You're a victim of what happens, and, you know, you're stuck. And my biggest battle in helping people with helping them battle, I'm not doing the battle anymore, but is that victim mindset where if this didn't happen, if this didn't happen, if this didn't happen, I wouldn't be in a situation.
Right.
And society supports that a lot. And I'm looking at it like, you know, it happened. Here we go. I think I mentioned last week, and I never remember exactly where I talk about these things, but I was talking a lot about this last week in my sessions, that new studies are coming out showing trauma affects people differently, and it's based on how they perceive the trauma.
Mm.
Some people view trauma as a growth event. Other people view trauma as a debilitating event. One of my NFL players right now, very, very you know, obviously he's an NFL player, he's a very gifted athlete. He's also a very bright man. But he had a concussion. Oops. And, you know, they're very aware of that, and they're working hard on that. And we were having a discussion this week about the concussion. And he actually said, he said, you know, he has to make a decision down the road whether he's going to play again or he's not. And you know, it may sound, oh, well, that's an easy decision. But when, you know, when you're talking about making $10 million next year, versus not making $10 million next year, it's obviously a consideration, you know?
It certainly is.
And so, yeah, so he had that big decision to make. And, but one thing he said, I'm going to approach it with a perspective that, and he said, I want you to, his question, I love this question, so I want you to help me develop the perspective in which I will ask that question. And I thought, wow.
Very good.
He said, because the question is going to be irrelevant if I come at it from the wrong perspective. He
really
said,
good.
Important decision.
Wow.
He doesn't have to make it for the next 2 months. And, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't have to figure it out till the season's over. And his, you know, his team, you know, he's already on the team. He's getting paid this year no matter what. And his team is going to be in the playoffs. So I mean, he'll be on that run, but he won't be playing. But he will have a decision to make, and, mm-hmm. and his guidance that he's seeking for me is not the answer, because I will not give him the answer. I cannot.
Right.
I will not do that. But I can help him develop the mindset in which the answer will come.
That's
and
cool.
I was so happy that he asked me that way.
That's a tremendous breakthrough to have him say that. That's fabulous. And by the way, to the point of what we were talking about, Bill G is, believe it or not, Joel, there's somebody who I've been doing online shows with longer than you. Bill and I used to do back before I was doing the Law of Attraction podcast, I used to do a news podcast on PRN called the Freedom News Hour. And one of my co-hosts in that show was Bill G. And Bill's actually going to be on this show this coming Sunday to talk about a new book that he's put out. And, you know, so I urge all of our listeners to tune in. That's Sunday at 8 p.m. New York time. So do the appropriate time adjustment for where you live. But he's going to come on and talk about the book and all the interesting explorations he's done on a spiritual basis. But he makes a really interesting comment. He says, back in the day when Walt and I did that political show, I always had to work myself up to be angry, to be critical of whatever was going on in the world. It always made me feel lousy. Now I don't watch or read the news at all, and I feel great. And I mean, you and I have talked about this many times, about not watching the news, paying no attention to it at all, and noticing how much our lives improve in the process. And I just find it cool that Bill and I both were doing this thing many years ago. We both abandoned it, and then we reconnected and said, hey, we're on the same path again. What's going on here? It was cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So... And then, go ahead.
Well, and you know, I don't know, Bill. And I certainly will check out that show you're going to do together. I realized, and we've talked a lot about the political stuff, and you know, lately, you know, during the election, I went back and I started watching the news a little bit, and I tried really hard to keep it just factual news, not political leanings or trying to have people dictate to me what happened. I just wanted to know, tell me the numbers without any commentary.
All right.
And that is almost impossible to find.
Yes.
I have actually found I get better factual reporting from overseas news about the United States than I do within the United States. You know, they will often just report facts. Here's the results from the United States elections.
Right, right.
So, but within that, I realize there's also almost an addicting quality to keeping up with the news because, especially with our current administration, where it's like a three-ring circus, you know, where almost every day is just some outlandish report. Now, again, I don't know if it's all true or not. It's irrelevant, but it is presented as just fuel, and it's just you almost want to consume it. And so I realized, even sort of dipping my toe back into the election stuff, I had to sort of detox from it again because you are drawn to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's really true. You do have to detox from it. You have to kind of go through withdrawal. And, you know, it's worthwhile to go through the withdrawal. But I completely agree that the current administration is a three-ring circus. It's like what is now known as reality TV, which, by the way, is a strange term. They call it reality TV, and it doesn't match any reality I recognize. But nevertheless, that's what they call it. And that reality TV is all about, here is the most crazy people you've ever seen in your life acting things out on screen for your entertainment. Do you really want to spend your time on that?
One of the funny things, if this is years ago, those that know my story, I was early in my recovery, I ended up in a halfway house in Florida, a sort of a therapeutic community that worked with gambling addicts. And I eventually ended up, really, really loving the field and getting into treatment. You know, I became a counselor. That's how I got into doing what I'm doing now. And it was all part of that journey. The reason I say that is I had always thought this is like 1998. Is when I was really in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that we treated and I became very good friends with, actually is a writer, and he had the concept, and I concurred, that we would be doing a television show about the work. And this is before reality TV,
mm-hmm.
about us sort of a transitional living home for addiction.
Mm.
And put cameras there and just follow people because there was so much bizarre stuff happening. We actually pitched this concept to a firm called Brillstein and Gray in L.A. as a television show.
Wow.
Years before reality TV took off, you know, reality Survivor, I believe, is one of the first ones.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think MTV did some stuff too, but we were way ahead of the curve. And we were actually told at the time that while this is a great concept, that at the time they were focusing on, sort of cartoon type things like The Simpsons and Family Guy and South Park. And so they were more in the animation field, is where they were putting their energy, but they said it was a great idea. So I found it ironic that we were way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, no kidding.
With the concept, but you're absolutely right. Reality TV is the opposite of reality. No one's reality is that. It's just, that's what's hilarious about it.
That is funny. I mean, and it's also a good reminder. I mean, you talked earlier about the meme that you published on Facebook earlier today about here's the mountain you've been assigned to move. And that's really what's at the root and the heart of understanding why reality TV isn't real. Because the moment you recognize that reality TV doesn't represent any actual reality, first of all, not a reality you'd want to be a part of, and second of all, not a reality that's very likely remotely connected to what's going on in your life, but more than that, it shows that because reality is so perception-based, that's how you're going to move the mountain. You're going to move the mountain by changing your perception to whatever it is you want to change to. So now it doesn't really matter what's on reality TV. Reality TV is almost irrelevant at that point because you're the one who's creating the reality.
Yes, and that's the. I was watching years ago. I was watching one. It was sort of new, and I forget the name of it. It was about some gentleman, young man, or man that has a family. Well, their scenes are so clearly staged, and it was so bizarre. And I'd hear people talk about it, and it's like they're performing for the camera, so you're getting the opposite of reality. You're not getting the realness of it. I was on there's a show on A&E Network called Intervention, and I've actually been on that show a couple of times in a couple of different treatment centers I've worked for, and a lot of the footage is staged. I mean, some of the stuff was not. True to form, so to speak, without getting into great detail. And I was a little disappointed in that because the concept was really good at the beginning, but then I realized, okay, well, you know, well, you know, we, some of this is just sort of put on as an air
to
get ratings. And I get it. They're there to make money. It's not really there to do anything but make money. But it you know, the idea was pretty good, but it went way out there. Mm. And you know, I don't need to go on the air anymore. But it was really an interesting view into how that worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if they're going to be able to come up with, I'm not sure even how you would do this. How do you come up with a reality TV show? You have to call it something different because it's going to be, you know, creating reality. How do you create a creating reality TV show? One that shows people creating new realities. How do you portray that? I'm not sure how to do that. Because the moment that you're in the middle of it,
it would be
the moment
boring to watch.
Well, it would be. Yeah, most of the time nothing's happening. Most of the time it looks like it's just a mental activity going on.
Yeah. and a lot of times you don't know the miracle has happened until, you know, a week down the road. So there's no way to catch it. You know,
right.
It's more of a shifted mindset. When I change my perspective, that is not good TV because there's not a lot of events for me changing my perspective that could be shown on TV. It's like, all sitting there, perspective change, no facial expression. You know, it's boring, but it was life altering. But at the same time, it doesn't translate to good TV.
Yeah, well, I think that's why
there's
we do
really
it. As
no
a,
way to do that.
That's why we do it as a talk show, because otherwise, no one would have any idea what was going on. We have to explain what's going on, which is not
exactly,
what you normally do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the exciting piece. Is it is a much better. It's a better radio version, or it's a better book version, because you can explain it and get people to understand it a lot better than showing it on TV.
Yeah, absolutely true. We only have a few minutes left, and I want to remind people, if you're not yet subscribers, become a subscriber. Pretty easy to do. You can find, in most of the places where we're posting this, you can find links to, just click on the link for your device, and it'll just walk you through it. If you don't see links, just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net. You'll find links there for Android users and for Apple device users. Just click the appropriate one. It'll walk you through the process. After you're subscribed, all the episodes will come directly to your smartphone every single time that we publish them. Make sure you listen to them. That's why you're subscribing. And, you know, keep up with everything that we're talking about here. It's going to be a different show every single day. And then also start sharing the fact that you're listening and watching these episodes with people that you know on social media, because that's how you found out. Somebody shared it with you. You know, so pass it along. Keep the chain going, so to speak. And in the process, help more and more people get their daily dose of happy. We really appreciate you for that. And also, because we're now approaching Christmas, we want to wish everybody Merry Christmas. And Joel, I mean, do you have anything special planned? Are you guys going away, or are you just kind of hanging out and opening up the mound of presents that I know that you're trying to hide around the house so that Justin doesn't find them?
Yeah, well, I've actually lost a couple of those. I don't know where I've hidden them, but hopefully I'll figure that out. And as I mentioned earlier, we don't, you know, we're not really planners, so we'll
true.
Be doing something for the holidays, but we don't know what.
I haven't figured that part out yet.
To all of us. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that makes it a joyful day, because then you never really know what's going to happen during the day, so that's cool.
Exactly. That's good to know. We're excited. We're blessed, and it'll be a very, no matter what happens, whether we stay home, we go somewhere, or whatever, it's something that you know, we'll enjoy and really, really get the most out of. So this time of year is stressful for a lot of people, a lot of clients I work with. There's additional thought, and it's sad because a time of year that should be a celebration and stuff is a lot of people get on the other side. So I really encourage you to socialize and figure it all out, but don't beat yourself up. This is an amazing time. We got an incredible new year right around the corner, too.
Absolutely. And for somebody who needs a little more personal assistance, because that's what you do for a living. You assist people in helping to deal with their stuff and learn how to get that better perspective. How do they reach out to you?
Joel Elston at Gmail right now is the easiest way. That's my email address. JoelElston.com is my website. Just reach out, send me, I can help you. I can refer you. And don't hesitate. I respond to everything. And I've gotten multiple emails over the years of us doing this from our listeners, and always enjoy hearing from them.
Very good. All right. Well, have a great holiday, and I look forward to talking to you next Thursday.
You too, my friend.
All right. We'll see you all next time as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.